Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is December 23rd, 2012, and I'm your host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Ho, Ho, Hold the Proton Pump Inhibitor. Now, the sound quality might be a bit off today. I've got a bit of a cold, and I'm trying out a new microphone. We're always trying to improve things on the SGEM. Now, normally, I use a Yeti mic, but I bought myself an early present, and it's a Logitech headset microphone. We'll see how it works. So, today's podcast is on proton pump inhibitors, and I'd like to start with a case, and the case scenario is going to be, well, seasonally themed. So, we have a jolly old man presenting to the emergency department, vomiting bright red blood all over his fur-lined winter coat. Now, you know me, don't panic. All bleeding stops. Eventually. So you quickly assess his ABCs. The nurse places two large bore IVs, and you bring an advanced airway cart to the bedside. The laboratory starts drawing the appropriate blood work, and the nurse turns to you and says, "Should I start the 80 and 8? And what she means by that is the 80 milligram Pantoloc infusion followed by bolus followed by an 8 milligram per hour drip. Well, let's look at the background of upper GI bleeds and try to answer that question. First of all, this is the usual blurb I give about, yeah, it's a problem, it's common, affects millions of patients every year, it's deadly and expensive. So, what are the details? Upper GI bleeds are a common reason for ER admits, with lots of morbidity and mortality. And it's usually the result of a peptic ulcer. The prevalence is about 170 per 100,000 adults each year, and this was from the US. And of course, the data is 750, say it with me here, million dollars a year in utilization costs. So it costs lots and lots of money, lots and lots of resources. So the idea of giving someone a PPI or a proton pump inhibitor to lower the amount of acid in their stomach had some face validity. Well, maybe this would help limit the amount of bleeding that took place and, of course, prevent mortality. Seems reasonable, right? However, there is a cost to treatment, and if there's a cost to treatment, there better be a demonstrated benefit to the patient, not to the surgeon. It better have patient-oriented outcomes which are improved. So the specific question we want to ask as EBM experts is, does a PPI prior to endoscopy in acute upper GI bleeds change patient-oriented outcome? So the reference for this is a Cochrane database systematic review published in 2010, and it's called Proton Pump Inhibitor Treatment Initiated Prior to Endoscopy Diagnosis in Upper Gastrointestinal Bleed. The PICO statement for this, or the PICO, is the population was just over 2,000 participants in 6 randomized control trials. The intervention was a proton pump inhibitor given orally or IV. They had different controls in the 6 studies. Some of them were placebo controls, some of them had H2 blockers, and some of them had no treatment prior to endoscopy. And then the outcomes in this systematic review, the primary outcome, the reason we're here is all-cause mortality within 30 days. Seems reasonable. What was the all-cause mortality after the acute bleed? That was the primary outcome. And then the secondary outcomes, they had 6 of them. They looked at rebleeding within 30 days, surgery for continued or recurrent bleeding within 30 days, length of stay in the hospital, transfusion requirements, proportion of patients with what are called high-risk stigmata at the time of endoscopy, and they abbreviate this as stigmata of recent hemorrhage, and it's a composite score when you look into the gastrointestinal lining and what the endoscopist finds. And then there's the proportion of participants that received endoscopic treatment at the first scope. So when they scoped them the first time, how many needed a certain type of treatment? Well, the results, we want to know the primary result first. The primary result from 6 trials of over 2,000 patients showed no difference, zip, nada, none. That's right, there was no difference in the primary outcome when it came to mortality in over 2,000 patients compared to their control. Now, when it got to secondary outcomes, it got a little messier, or as my EBM guru says, it depended. First of all, the secondary outcome, which involved rebleeding, there was 5 trials for rebleeding involving 2,000 plus patients, and no difference with rebleeding. How about surgery? Again, 5 trials, no difference. Then, length of stay and transfusion, they couldn't do actually an analysis on this. The data was too scattered and sparsely reported, and for whatever reason, the Cochrane guys couldn't put this together and be analyzed with regards to length of stay and transfusion in a meta-analysis. Now, when it came to the stigmata of recent hemorrhage, there was a difference. Now, they had 4 trials that they could do this analysis on, and there was just over 1,300 patients. And there was a 10% difference, absolute difference, a 10% absolute difference. So the ones that had stigmata of recent hemorrhage, it was 37.2% of those receiving PPIs, and then 46%, so almost 10% difference on placebo. However, when they really crunched the numbers, and I'm going to slip some EBM stuff in here, it didn't stand up to what's called sensitivity analysis. Now, it wasn't how sensitive they were about the bleeding, okay? Not that kind of sensitivity. It was when they looked at the 4 trials and they wanted to know how robust the trials were. Did they stand up if you could take one of the trials out and then run the analysis? Was there still a difference? And lo and behold, there was not. And one of the trials, the one from 1992, had over 1,100 patients in it. And when you're talking about 4 trials and a total of 1,300 patients, that's a heavily weighted trial. So it was the one trial that showed some difference and the other 3 didn't. They also looked at what's called a fixed effect versus random effect model. And it's a sort of another EBM sort of way to check for the robust nature of your results. And saying, in each individual trial, if we counted each effect the same versus if they were random effects, so some effects were different or bigger or smaller in some trials. And when they ran that through the statistics statistical analysis, again, they found that it didn't stand up. So it didn't stand up, the robust nature of it. So while I'm spending a lot of time talking about this stigmata of recent hemorrhage, it didn't stand up to sensitivity analysis. And the final thing was active bleed at the time of scope. And there was 4 trials involved in that again. And there was a little bit of difference. Again, it was heavily weighted by one of the trials. So does it really matter to the patient whether they have bleeding at the time of scope? They're going for the scope anyways. What really matters is, did they require more blood? Did they have more chance of getting surgery in the next 30 days? Did they die? So the authors lead with the secondary outcome, but then finish with the primary outcome. So the author's conclusion from this systematic review were, quote, proton pump inhibitors, treatments initiated before endoscopy for upper gastrointestinal bleeds might reduce the proportion of participants with SRH at indexed endoscopy and significantly reduces requirement for endoscopy treatment or therapy during the indexed endoscopy. However, there is no evidence that PPI treatment affects clinically important outcomes, namely mortality, rebleeding, and the need for surgery. So when we look at this as sort of a best evidence in emergency medicine or BEAM comments on this, are that people who present to the ED with GI bleeds are usually undifferentiated. We do not know for sure the cause of their bleeding. And applying a costly treatment that doesn't seem to positively affect clinically important endpoints like, hello, alive or dead, need for surgery, or rebleeding does not seem wise. And if you listen to the podcast last week, we like to choose wisely. So proton pump inhibitors may be required, but this data does not support the routine use of them before the endoscopy. So the BEAM bottom line is routine use of proton pump inhibitors is not required in the emergency department in the setting of acute upper GI bleeds. Now, if you want to dig into this deeper, if you want to get more information on this, you can look at some of the individual studies. So I picked the very first study that was done in 1992 and included in this systematic review, and it was published in the BMJ in 1992, and that's the one that had 1,100 patients, 1,147 if you want to get particular. And they found no difference comparing PPIs versus control in mortality, rebleeding rates, or requirement for surgery, all the big outcomes that we were talking about, in particular the primary outcome of mortality. They did find that significant difference between endoscopic stigmata of hemorrhage, but, you know, how patient-oriented is that? And then if you jump ahead to 2007, there was a New England Journal article by Lau et al., and it had 631 patients. And it was the last study included in the Cochrane Review, and it looked at high-dose omeprazole versus placebo. And it was prior to endoscopy for acute upper GI bleeds. And it found the same thing. No difference in the amount of death at 30 days, need for emergency surgery, recurrent bleeding. And they specifically found no difference in the amount of blood transfused. They did find a reduced need for endoscopy therapy at the time of the first scope. But again, how clinically relevant is that to the patient? Now, David Newman, who I'm a big fan of and always like to say, Newman. David Newman did a great in-depth review of this on his podcast called Smart EM. I encourage you to listen to it. You can also find a good summary of this information on his website, thennt.com. And I've thrown up the image on this blog, and he's got a great way of representing it. He's got a green light, yep, yellow light, not so sure about the evidence for and against, and a red light, no. And when it comes to proton pump inhibitors for upper GI bleeds, he's given it a red light, no benefit, and I concur. So let's conclude the case. Jolly old St. Nick was stabilized in the emergency department. He went for an endoscopy where the GI doc gave him a pre-scope dose of IV PPI anyway. Ugh, talk about trying to cut that KT window. It's one of those leaks in the pipe we'll just keep having to work at. And he did well and was told to make some lifestyle changes. Well, the Keener contest. I know you've all been waiting to hear who won last week. And last week's winner was Caroline Burge, and I hope I pronounced your name correctly. And she's from Queensland, Australia. Good on ya, mate. She correctly answered that Dr. Henry Jones Jr. got his nickname Indiana from the family dog. For this week's Keener contest, I have a holiday theme. The modern day Santa Claus in his red suit, trimmed fur, jolly old man, started as an American company image to promote their product early in the 20th century. I'm looking for the name of the product that was promoted in the ads that featured that iconic image. If you know the answer, email it to me at thesgem@gmail.com, and under the use in the subject line Keener contest, and put up your answer. And the first answer that I get that it's correct, I will send you a very cool skeptical prize. Now, if you want to cut that KT window down to less than 1 year, again, consider going to Ski Beam 2013, February 4th to 6th at Silver Star, BC. Contact Teresa. She's eagerly waiting for you to secure your spot at the best emergency medicine EBM conference there is. Happy holidays to everyone, and we'll be back next week with one final show for 2012. Stay tuned, because I have a very, and I mean very, extra special guest lined up for that episode. I'm sure you're going to really, really enjoy it. So like us on Facebook. We could always use more likes on Facebook at the SGEM. Follow us on Twitter, and be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you learned it on the SGEM. Talk to you next week.
Again.